Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How is everyone doing? I hope you all are doing well. I have a wonderful guest today, Don Jose Ruiz, an international bestseller, shaman, and Toltec, and he's going to be joining me here in just a few minutes. Each week, if you guys listen to me on a regular basis, you know I share a Magic Monday message. It's an image of a manifesting postcard or photograph that I took with an affirmation and that I like to focus on for that week. And I post them on Mondays, hence I use Magic Monday message. And this week's affirmation is, I honor my spirit. How does one honor one's spirit? And how do we honor others' spirits? My spirit and your spirit is the divine spark that God's source or your higher self has put into us as our guiding tool to help each of us live a purposeful and fulfilling life. Honoring our spirit is to respect who I am and to respect who you are as a spiritual being and manifesting the unique life that we each have chosen for ourselves. That brings me to what's going on today. Today's been a day. My sister, Tony, who has special needs, was rushed to the hospital this morning. She was choking and aspirated and became unconscious and was rushed to the hospital. She is not out of the woods, but she is in stable condition right now, and they are running tests. My parents and my other sister are there with her, and they wouldn't let anyone else in the hospital because of COVID restrictions, so I made the decision that I wanted to go forward with my show today. I needed to do this for me today. I needed this conversation. Sitting around and not being able to do anything would make me crazy. So please hold her and my family in your prayers for our girl, Tony. Thank you. And speaking of honoring spirit, my sister Tony's spirit has chosen a very special journey this time around. I may cry a little, so sorry, but oh well, it's okay. She came into this life with a list of human problems. She is classified as MR, or mentally retarded, which today is called developmentally disabled. They don't use that anymore. Tony could never marry, live on her own, or have her own children. And she has a list of health problems that she's had since she was born. Our whole family unit and what we do today with Rainbow Guardian Foundation that my mother created and the group home she opened is because of my sister, Tony. Tony could not receive more love and care by anyone on this planet other than, truthfully, God himself than what she has received from us as a family and especially by my mother. I believe Tony is at a precipice in her spiritual journey, and we must honor her and wherever this takes her, as hard as it may be on us. Each of us has our own very personal soul's mission, I believe, and I am amazed at the courage it takes for a soul to choose such a difficult journey in life. So let us honor each other and respect each other and care for each other, please. You don't know what another spirit came here to do. And hold my sister in your prayers. I thank you. If you want to see my Magic Monday messages and postcards, you can find me on my website and all my social media accounts, Postcards to the Universe. And if you want to know more about what I'm doing, just follow me there and you can check out my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. Next week, I have Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. on my show, who's a Toltec master of transformation. He is a direct descendant of the Toltecs of the Eagle Knight lineage and is the son of Don Miguel Ruiz by combining the wisdom of his family's traditions with the knowledge gained from his own personal journey. He now helps others realize their own path to personal freedom. But today's guest is Don Jose Ruiz, who is also the son of Don Miguel Ruiz. And he is the international best-selling author of The Fifth Agreement, his latest book, Shamanic Power Animals, Souls, Embracing the Teachings of Our Non-Human Friends. I just finished it yesterday. I love it. And as a Toltec Master of Transformation and Modern Day Shaman, he has dedicated his life to sharing the wisdom of the ancient Toltec through his books, lectures, and journeys to sacred sites around the world. And some of his other books include Ripples of Wisdom, My Good Friend the Rattlesnake, The Wisdom of the Shamans, and The Medicine Bag, Shamanic Rituals and Ceremonies for Personal Transformation, which I am currently starting that book right now. And you can find out more about Don Jose if you just Google him or go to miguelruiz.com and you can find out all about him. Welcome, Don Jose. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for having me today. And my prayers are with you and your family for your sister.
Thank you.
My heart is with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I really wanted to do the show today. I feel it's important. She's special, my sister. She's had a special journey. You know, it's amazing. It's just amazing to me. So I thought, you know, I could have gone either way. And I felt it was super important to just have this conversation because basically what we are talking about today is the journey of the spirit, right? And all of our individual journeys. So I'm going to start with what does being a Toltec mean? Because a lot of people who are not familiar with you or your brother or your father may have no idea what that even means. So what is that?
The word Toltec in Nahuatl is the name of a tribe. And the name in Nahuatl, it means artist of the spirit. And this is what we're here to do. Like you said, a Toltec is here to deliver a message through its art. And everything that we do in life is an art. So we choose how to express it. And in the Toltec tradition, we're honoring life. And we express the love of life through everything that we do. And this is the message that we share to one another to remind everybody else that they're an artist too. And whatever belief they have, the important thing is that they bring heaven down to earth from the infinite. And that's the most beautiful art that we can do.
I love that. So then it's totally aligned with how, you know, what I think and what I do with my work, because I always think of myself as an artist first, and everything I do, it comes from my creative spirit, and I love working with my creative spirit. So I didn't realize that being a Toltec had that art as your life as part of that journey. So that's really, really interesting. Now you grew up like this, your grandmother, right? Your whole family.
Yes. We grew up believing in the power of magic. And the magic is through the action of our words, because everything that we say, every word that we use is an art to create a story. And, you know, with awareness or not awareness, some people without awareness, they're so powerful that they create a story, a belief of suffering, and they believe it. But at the same time, when you wake up from that, you know that you have power and you can let any story go. And this is the most beautiful thing about that, to experiencing itself and to make a decision what serves us and what doesn't serve us. Because in the Toltec tradition, the main teaching, it is to unlearn what takes our inspiration away and to keep what keeps our inspiration away and to not sacrifice our sacred heart.
So a lot of us have a lot of unlearning to do. That's why a lot of us are suffering. And you talk about suffering as a story. I've heard you talk about that before, that we, you know, I love that you say that the word magic is my favorite word, and the power of words, right? Because that's what I try to be very, very conscious of the words that I use. You know, of course, I'm not always, but I try to be, because I believe what we speak, we bring into creation. So can you share a little bit more about that, about what we speak and how we bring that into creation?
Well, it's about the emotion and the vibration. Mm-hmm. You know, in my belief, before we made the word powerful and turn stories into gods, into belief, before of that, there was a vibration that gave power to the word. So in my journey, I know that even before we speak, it's about the vibration that we feel, because many people can talk with memory, you know, like a ventriloquist talking, but they're not saying what they mean. The moment that we begin having the power of energy and vibration, and as we speak, you know, we can totally feel this beauty, if someone's authentic or not authentic. And when we begin believing in the dream of love and knowing that sabotaging and suffering is not about the dream of love, it's about the world of the victim of self-sabotaging, then we have two questions for us. How are we serving Divine Mother? And what are we going to do if we wake up knowing that we're not serving Divine Mother but going against her? And it's about unlearning how we live life. So when we begin being honest with ourselves, we can totally know what vibration we are feeling. So when I grew up, That was a saying that my elders said, fake it till you make it. And that never really hit home to me because why should I fake something? Why can't I just be real and admit what is affecting me? And the moment that I begin walking this path, sister, anything that affects me, I voice it out so it became my awareness. I'm not hiding anything. And from this point, my life is an open book. So let's say with gratitude, we're going through difficult moments. No matter what it is, we admit we're going through difficult moments, but that doesn't stop us from enjoying our life. And this is how we honor life itself.
Right. Because we're human, right? We're all having a human experience. So of course there's going to be difficult moments. There's always going to be those challenges, but that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the life experience, which is so true. And I read somewhere, and you made a reference, and I really wanted to make sure that I asked you this. I saw you say something that we are all the awakened one. And I was like, that's interesting. What does that mean? How are we all awakened?
Well, the awakened one is not necessarily that you wake up in someone else's dream. It's that you are alive. And when you realize that you're alive, how are you going to live the rest of your life? Are you going to go with the message of going against yourself, going against life, sacrificing, lying to yourself, lying to others? When you're the awakened one, you hold the responsibility. And that's what many people are afraid of, to be responsible of their own life. So they have to believe in fairy tales. They have to believe in something outside of them that begins being blind faith. But when I say awaken, it's because you're awakening inside of you and you realize that you're alive. And after having so many death experiences, I realize what's important in life. It's not about me planning or what I'm going to be or what I be or how people see me being validated. No, it's to be alive so I can enjoy it and be honest with myself. Am I enjoying this moment or am I not enjoying it? So if my answer is honest and I'm not enjoying it, that sets me up to detach from a way of living so I can be honoring the love of my life. Because at the end of the day, when we awake, we cannot go back to sleep. And many people who wake up and don't walk their path, they have to numb themselves. They have to numb their consciousness. They cannot even look into the mirror because they feel guilt and shame. But the moment that you clean up the world, you wake up because you're really doing it for the love of your life. And many people talk about, you know, honoring Divine Mother, about stopping the female suppression. But, you know, every time that we suppress ourselves, we're suppressing Divine Mother because in my point of view, we are an extension of the planet, you know, and gender separates us, race separates us, but it's really separating. It's a separating tool. No, it's just the belief that humans believe. So when you awake, you don't believe that we're separated. We believe that we're one. And when we wake up knowing that it's our responsibility to take care of the love of our life, to take care of ourselves, everything begins to change. We will no longer sacrifice or be in an abusive relationship or, you know, let people abuse us because we stand up. Because we have the voice of liberation and freedom. And who are we looking for liberation and freedom? But from ourselves, to be our authentic self. So from this point on, even though we're living in suffering, even though we're hurt, you know, we're not going to fake it till we make it. Because in being honest how we are living, that's the first step of changing our life.
Yeah, you know, that's funny you said that about the fake it till you make it. That never resonated with me either. I tried it and it didn't work for me. I couldn't. Yes. I couldn't do that. It didn't work. Yeah, yeah, I needed to do the work inside and heal what was going on. And then the shifts started to happen, right? I had to face that. And when you say love of your life, you mean yourself, your soul, your
absolutely,
spirit.
Because you're the love of your life. Many people think that the love of their life is outside. But think about the vows. And I begin thinking about the vows, to death do you part. It's not about another person. Is till death do me part, I'm going to be a service to my body, to my mind, doing the best that I can. And, you know, being 42 years old now, I have life experience of what serves me, what doesn't serve me. When I was 20, 30, you know, I didn't know much about life. I was still learning. And I sacrificed to pretend to the dream that will make me happy, you know, in religion, in spirituality, in relationship, in business, you know, everything. Until that moment, you know, what makes me happy is honoring myself. Enjoying everything that I do during the life, because in that way, I'm not thinking to it, I'm making it. I'm waking up in the morning excited. And and the only prayer that I'm saying is, may life protect me from myself. Do not give power to something that I would take personal or someone that insults someone. Tell me, because it has nothing to do with me. From this point on, when I'm protecting myself from myself, it's about self-honesty. And when we live this way, you know, we cannot pretend. We cannot wear a band-aid to be happy. We cannot believe in blind faith, you know, fake it till we make it. Yeah, let's say we fake it, but the next day we talk to the shaman or to the swami, and we need him to fix us, or we wait for her to fix us. No, the point of life is to realize ourselves, because we have the power to be centered, because we don't need no fixing. What we need is to see with awareness our own life. And if we like it, we go ahead. But if we don't like it, we can do an autopsy and change it. And that's what I mean by an out-of-body experience. For me, it's not that I'm sleeping and I'm floating and I'm watching my body sleep. No, for me, that's just another dream separating me from the truth. A real out-of-body experience is to witness how I react to any kind of situation in life, and to feel how I'm reacting, you know, what words say and how I'm living in my life. When I begin seeing myself from an impersonal point of view, then I can control the storyteller, change it if I'm telling a negative story to myself. But nothing will change until the realization happens that I'm in charge of my life.
Right. Until I'm in charge of my life. And the way you're talking about it is not from the ego's perspective. See, the ego's different, because the ego here is, oh, I'm the love of my life. It's not like you're peacocking or you're looking at yourself in mirror saying, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, I'm the best thing since sliced bread, you know, or your ego's blown up. This is a deeper love, a connection with your spirit, with your soul, with your heart, with your purpose. Right? I'm going to assume that I'm right with that. Saying that, I could be wrong, but I think I'm right.
Yeah, absolutely, sister. It's about faith. Mm-hmm. It's about having faith in oneself. Let's say I believe in myself so much, that's powerful. But if I believe them better than somebody else, that's ego, and that's a lie, because we all are the same. And when you believe in yourself, you believe in yourself that you can get out of an abusive relationship, you can heal of any situation, and you can accept life, whatever's happening. And instead of being the victim and paralyzing the rest of us, we're being strong, and we open our heart, and we're not going to feel sorry for anything or anyone. But at the contrary, we'll hold that respect. And at the same time, we're not paralyzing ourselves. And this is when we begin being strong in our own dream. Because let's say this, if life gives us a problem or situation, it's because God or Divine Mother believes in us. So why cannot we believe in ourselves the same way?
I love that. This is a great place to take our first break, because we're at that mark right now. So let's take our break now, and we'll come back and finish this conversation. So please, everyone, stay tuned. Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement, where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Welcome back. Today's guest, Don Jose Ruiz, an international bestseller, shaman, and Toltec, is with me today, and I'm so happy to have you with me here today. I'm very honored. I appreciate it. If you were just listening to the commercial break and you heard about Rainbow Guardian Foundation, you heard me mention about my sister, Toni. That is our foundation that we started years ago in honor. We have a group home, and we take care of 9 girls on special needs spectrum, so we're very proud of that. So just wanted to mention that. So Don Jose, before we took the break, we were talking a little bit about the difference between the ego versus the heart, and why so many of us are always so wrapped up in our egos, like we can't get out of our own heads, you know?
Well, I believe it's a setup that we get as domestication, reward and punishment. And just imagine when I was seeing the other day in the little family, when we're domesticating a little baby or a kid, when we do, when it does something that we wanted them to do, we all applaud, yay, you know, yay. So that becomes like a feeding without knowing. Now I look at the teenagers and the young adults with social media. You know, they could be a talented artist painting, but if they don't get the attention they want, they feel bad that they think that they're not a good artist. So in order to be loved, we become like drug addicts looking for love and validation for the outside to be accepted, because that's the way that we got domesticated. And, you know, the truth way to be is to accept ourselves, because when we accept ourselves, there will be no ego. You know, the judgments will come, but they won't stop us. So the ego, it is a parasite being born to protect itself because it wants to feel love. So they feel like going into the ego, that's the way they're going to get love, by possessing other people, by proving they're right, you know, by being someone's hero. But at the same time, we don't have awareness that we're imposing, and we're wearing a mask, and we're not living our dream. The moment that we know that ego is just a lie, that it is just something that's but a mask, you know, we ask the question, is the mask wearing us, or we're wearing the mask? And of course, in ego, the mask is always wearing us, because let's say if we look, if we want a relationship to look a certain way, we're not looking at our partner as the love of our life. We're looking at it as a prop to build in our own toy house to play that game. It's not even real. And when we build all this and there's no satisfying, because it doesn't come from true love. So it's like building a castle in the desert, and the desert sand will always eat the castle, because it's not a foundation to build your home there. The moment that we don't live by ego, and we wake up and have the awareness that we never needed anyone anyways validation to be happy, we never needed to be accepted by the outside dream, the only thing that we needed to do is change from within, then from this point on, we can be devoted to God, to life, not from ego, not from everybody watching us, how we pray, how we meditate, but our divine love to connection to source. And this happens many times, you know, and the ego always likes to be wearing a mask, pretending, especially the way we grew up watching television, newspapers, magazines. We always want to become something that we're not. And if we become that something, you know, that happens. And even now, I see little people, that I was talking to these little girls who were talking about those face apps, and that they distort their faces. And then after that, now they want to have surgery before they're 20 to look like the app in the face, but that will never happen because that's not real. And they think that in order to be validated, they need to look like that. But what happens if they got all the money in the world and look like that? They will be empty inside, because that's not where love comes from. So the ego is a lie that lies to you that you're going to the destination of the promised land and heaven, but it takes you nowhere. And after, you know, after life happens, you know, we wake up knowing that that wasn't real. That's why many people who had that experience, they live a certain way, sacrificing, believing in lies, not saying anything, until life gave them a big slap in the face, and then you're still alive. Then participating in that ghost town, that's what I call the dream of the ego, because that's where we don't belong. It's a dead dream. And continues to find inspiration in a ghost town, we will never find it. And that's when we wake up. And this is where the Toltec training always begins, because we begin to unlearn what takes our inspiration away in order to get. And many people do not have the awareness that their ego is the one that takes their inspiration away. Because let's say the dream of machismo is all based on ego. To say to all the friends, look how macho I am, you know, look how, you know, how many partners I have. Look at all these pop toys that I have. But at the end of the day, they're empty. You know, even the biggest actor has said it. I don't want to say his name, but he made all this fortune, all this money, but he still says that didn't make me happy. And then he went through a divorce and found himself that he was the love of his life. And finally, he found that ego wasn't the mask. It was just to accept yourself the way you are.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. And that's my, you know, there's good parts about the social media and the connection, and we can connect because of the internet the way we are right now on this show, which is wonderful. But the dark side of that, is the wanting to be liked by outside validation. We're looking for outside validation. And I am so thankful I grew up before the internet and before social media. You know, I look at my beautiful 11-year-old niece who's preteen now, and she's just starting to blossom. And of course, she's on there. So, you know, she's going to be starting with this soon. And I'm so concerned because, you know, they get, you get to, like, you're letting your other people validate you. So how do we, because I've heard you speak about this, we're looking for wisdom, you know, we're looking for our wisdom, and we're always looking outside of ourselves. So how do we look inside of ourselves, and how do we help the younger people, the children who are completely growing up with social media that you and I didn't have when we were younger, find that inner wisdom about who they are? How do we do that?
Well, the first all that we can is be our authentic self. Why? Mm-hmm. It's because the children learn not what we say to them, do or don't do. They copy what we do.
Yes.
So that's the first responsibility, to not set them up for failure. Mm-hmm. And when we're living this way, is to always be open book to them, whatever they want to know. But the moment that we begin giving them advice, not telling them what to do, giving advice is like we're telling them pointers how to live life, because if we do not domesticate our children, someone else will. So it's important to give them the pointers of how people dream. Now, see them, social media, it's the same as a car. A car is a privileged vehicle to get us from place to place. And also media is also a situation, like a vehicle to get our work from place to place. But when it comes down to teach children, it's just to be authentic self, you know, because they're going to rebel, you know, if they're going to rebel. They're going to taste, they're going to taste, and they're going to feel the peer pressure by their school friends. So the only thing we can do is give them the big advice and to talk to them, to not separate them, to not put fear, and to allow them that they can speak up whenever they want. And, you know, the best advice that we can, that's what we can give to them. Because they're going to learn also from the mistakes that we do. And this is something that happens in life. Our mistakes are perfect too. And like we were talking about social media, I am so grateful that there was no internet in my teenage years, because I don't want my little nephews to see everything that I was doing.
I know, me too. Right. I feel you. I feel the same way. I said, oh my God, I can't even imagine. And they're so judged now on a different level than we were. So yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like it's like a new toy for us humans, and we haven't matured enough yet to figure out how to use it just for its benefits. You know, like we're seeing the shadow side. We're seeing all the dark sides that come along with it too, that we have to kind of work our way through, you know?
Exactly. And this is when we pass the torch, having faith in the little ones have the torch now. And like for us, you know, our parents, our grandparents, our teachers, they went through a certain stage of spirituality as well. And when my father passed the torch to me and my brother, the torch, he really said, you know, it's time to take out the superstition and corruption in the Toltec tradition. And then what we mean by that, by pretending in fairy tales and dreams that, you know, that people, you know, escaping from, we want to give the most important thing to the little children so they can enjoy their life right now, not sacrifice their life thinking that something's going to happen after they die. No, we want to teach them how to expand their heart right now. So I'm in the age that I stay with cassettes and CDs, you know, the iCloud and all these iTunes, you know, it's very confusing for me, but the cassettes is simple. So that's where I'm comfortable. And I have to have the respect that the little ones will take these future electronics and devices to the next level. You know, like my grandmother.
And they do. They do. Yeah, they know it. They come in knowing how to do stuff. I asked my 11-year-old niece how to do stuff online because she knows how to do it better than I do.
Oh, my God. And they're so fast. You know,
so fast. I know. Yeah. I know.
And this is the beautiful part about life. You know, we have to do what empowers us, what gives us pleasure. Mm-hmm. And tell the little kids, whatever gives you pleasure, whatever makes you happy, go for it. You don't have to get rid of it. Because I remember when I was younger, in the spiritual tradition, many people said to me that I had to get rid of things mm-hmm. that, you know, that were not spiritual. And when I began doing it, I thought, you know, a part of my soul went away. And then mm-hmm. my father said to me, why are you not listening to rock and roll music anymore? It's because I'm not supposed to, because in spirituality. And he goes, says who? Like, who made this rule? You follow what opens your inspiration, because everything is spiritual, my son. Whatever follows your inspiration to serve the love of your life. So this is one thing that the children, you know, really need to find their time of loving. And one of the beautiful things of there is in a childhood, teenage years, is the power of imagination. And mm-hmm. I can see how many electronics are taking the imagination away from the children. Mm-hmm. But the imagination is very profound, because imagination is where the storytellers live. And the storytellers are the shaman, are the gurus, are the curanderas, are the people mm-hmm. of power. And then the mm-hmm. other ones are the followers, you know.
Sure.
And every time I say to the little ones, you know, before they become followers, I say, you know, you have to be a follower of your own heart. When you're a follower of your own heart, you will respect what other people are following to change their lives. And you respect mm-hmm. them. It's not your business for them to change in order for you to believe in you. You don't have to change their mind in order for you to be right. Everybody is allowed to have their own dream. And then I said to the little ones, can you allow yourself to have your own dream? Can you allow yourself to have your imagination? Because mm-hmm. some of the greatest storytellers, you know, and they're musicians. One of the best musicians, they became that powerful at the age of 15 to 19 because they went totally in their imagination. You know, like Depeche Mode, you know, that's one, The Cure, you know, the Beatles, you know, they all musicians who follow, and they changed the dynamic of their art because they inspired people. And imagine if we have little children writing books, following their hearts, we will no longer need adults to write children books, because the children will learn how to write children for children, because that's their language, and that's how they're going to grow up. But the only thing we have to do as adults is walk our authentic self and keep our house sacred. And when I mean to keep our house sacred, it means respectable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that. I know storytelling, it's very important in your family tradition. And it is actually in ours too. I'm Italian. And so we get a lot of storytelling passed down about our grandparents and our history. And my family's particular, we're very artsy. My family, my sister's an author. I'm an author also. I have the radio show. And even my niece, she's very into her artistic. And we very much, you know, push her to explore that. We love when she's in her imagination and she's creating because she's in her happy place, right? And it's a wonderful place to be when you are tapping into your creativity. And I love the art of storytelling. I love to listen to the oracles. That's why I think I got the radio show, because I meet people like you. You know what I mean? Like I love people's stories. I find it so fascinating. I find people so interesting. So storytelling is really important. We should be doing that more of that, I think, as a society, to learn from each other.
Yes, because storytelling is being an open channel. Mm-hmm. And what do I mean open channel? It's because you're not channeling anybody else. You're channeling your own artistic heart and love. And when you begin open channel and telling stories, you know, in the tradition, it's very important, because if someone's going through a problem or situation, you're not pointing the finger. You should do this. You should do that. No. The power of a story is that you can tell a story, and there's so many gems. There's so many medicine inside that story that the one listening, without getting their finger pointing in their face, they can get that without self-judgment. and open their perception and take a change in their life. And that little story may change their complete life.
Yes, yes, because if you listen to the story and the message in the story, the person listening goes, and it makes them think, right? And then they relate it to themselves in whatever situation they're going on. You're right. And it's a better way of telling without telling somebody what to do, because people don't like to be told what to do. I have found, now that I'm older, telling other people what to do, they don't want you to tell them what to do, right? They don't want your opinion. Yeah.
And that is respect, you know. One of the beautiful things that when I was studying in my mid-20s, shamanism, when I was learning from my father, my father said, okay, you're ready to watch this powerful movie, but now with the eyes of awareness. And I'm like, well, so excited to watch it. And what does he play? The story of Dumbo the Great. And I'm like, father, this is the movie of Dumbo. Okay, so watch it. And then tell me what the point of view it is. So I know many people have watched Dumbo. So I will just get into it. You know, Dumbo was a beautiful being. He got delivered to his mother. Then he got his mother taken away from him. He was heartbroken. He ran away. He got drunk. He woke up. He saw all these waterfalls, all these elephants flying. He didn't want to do that again because he felt crummy. Then he walked and then looked for a circle of shaman. And the shaman were the tricksters that were the crows. And after the crows made fun of him, they feel guilty. And that's what the master does. It does things until it feels guilty and never does it again. So in that moment, they took a magic feather from one of themselves and gave a story to Dumbo saying, with this feather, you can fly. And Dumbo received that magic feather and believed it, with that, he could fly. And then he was flying everywhere until the moment of the end of the movie where he was jumping from the highest ladder. He jumped and lost the feather. So losing the feather, he had no time to waste. And he thought he was going to crash, but the little consciousness, which was his voice inside his mind, said, you never needed the feather. That crows tricked you. That feather was just a trick so you can believe in yourself, but it was always you. So he flew after, you know, believing in himself. And then I went to father and said, I understand now. I wanted a story. I was feeling like victim because all the things that happened. But when a shaman gave me a power object, this necklace, I thought the power was in the necklace, but it's not in the necklace. The power object that the shaman gave to me was just a reflection of my intent, because if I hold that power object with respect, it gives me power. It's because it's reflecting the power that I have in my within. So I was flying now in my imagination, not like Dumbo with his ears, you know, around, but I was flying with the imagination so I can see what kind of life I'm living so I can change it and not tell anybody, because the only one who needed to know was myself. So I didn't need to announce it in social media. I'm changing my life. I'm changing this. No, who cares about that? I'm changing not for validation. I'm changing because it's time for a change. And after I did that, I saw this painting in the internet that it was two people walking away from each other. And the quote said, just because you're walking away from somebody doesn't mean you don't love them. It means their part in your book, the chapter is over. And then from that, I closed the book. But that imagination let me close the book. She led me to imagine a story that I told to myself to learn to let go of whatever was holding me to that dream of suffering.
Oh, my God. Okay, we're going to take our second break here, and then we're going to come back, because I really want to start talking about some of your books. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. Wonderful stuff. Welcome back. I have Don Jose Ruiz on. So, Sue, let's talk about your latest book, Shamanic Power Animals, Embracing the Teachings of Our Non-Human Friends. This one just came out in 2021. Yes, right? This one just came out, didn't it? Yeah.
It just came out on the 20th of last month.
I love it. I read the whole thing in like a day and a half.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, I love stuff like that. That's very interesting. So what made you want to write the book? I mean, I believe there's so much teachings that we get from the animals, and I've had crazy experiences, which I'll share with you in a second. So, but what made you decide you wanted to write this book?
Well, it's just been the love for animals that I have in my heart. Since I was a child, I was guided by the little friends, but especially my puppy. My puppy and I had this big relationship, you know, that is very, very deep. I can even see myself. And every time the puppy goes to heaven, I mm-hmm. get another one treated the same way, and it's like there, and it allows me to see the perfect reflection of me, I reflect mm-hmm. the love. And then like 6 years ago, I became complete vegan, and my mm-hmm. whole point of view changed because I was seeing every animal the mm-hmm. same, like if it was my puppy. And then I begin noticing the gifts that they have given us to us. Mm-hmm. You know, one little friend asked me, where did the Toltecs get their imagination and creativity to build pyramids? And it got me off guard. It got mm-hmm. me completely off guard. So when I look at the pyramid, I look at his eyes, I look down and ask me the question at the perfect moment, because I was watching a pyramid like a house being built by ants. And the mm-hmm. red ants were carrying the stones. And they were double their size, but their intent and the willingness were to build that little pyramid. And when I saw that home like a pyramid, I know that the ants make a hole mm-hmm. in the top because they go into chambers inside. It's mm-hmm. the same as the pyramids. So I mm-hmm. said, you know, in that moment, I got the answer for my little friend and for myself. I said, it comes from the little animals getting reflected. The humans are the most powerful beings that they can shape and reflect everything that the animals are doing. And it's not that the animals come to us in visions. The animals, they're just doing their thing. You know, they're not mm-hmm. even aware that we are alive. They can come whenever they mm-hmm. want to, but it's us that we're using them. And then I begin seeing all the beautiful gifts that they have given us, the flights, the diving into water, the creation. Mm-hmm. We humans have copied so many things that the animal has done, but we have not got into their soul. And this is one thing that I was, you know, really want to do in this book, mm-hmm. is to show everybody that even if they're human, the human is also an animal that it was put on this earth to protect all the living animals and to have the mm-hmm. terrorness. But the first thing is to protect themselves. So from this point on, we can totally see the respect mm-hmm. for all life. And that's the speciality that I wanted to share with everybody, because the moment that you begin connecting to one animal, you know, mm-hmm. your consciousness will become different. And the moment you work with them as well, you know that being human, it is a gift. And we have mm-hmm. the same tendencies of any species, mm-hmm. and we can copy and create whatever is in our heart. But especially one of the beautiful things I wanted to share with everybody with this book is that we are all our life. So never mm-hmm. forget this. And we all have the deserving to be alive. And the animal dream is to survive.
Right. Yeah, and you talk about working with the animal medicine. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, can you explain what you mean by what is animal medicine? Because you talk about that in your book, and you break it down. It's great the way he does the book. He has a lot of animals listed and the meanings and the messages that we could be getting from them. So I really like the way that you did that. So maybe you can, in your words, share what you mean by that.
Yeah, one of the beautiful things for the animal medicine is the situation that we are in life. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to a certain condition, how would an animal react to this way? So a little example that I share, one of my second power animal is the bat. Mm-hmm. And in a point of my life, I went blind for 3 weeks.
Oh my God, okay.
And before that time, I realized that I was blind before. So the mm-hmm. medicine of the bat allowed me to see clearly my within, because the bat can see through vibration, through sound, mm. it can feel, it begins to feel what's inside. So those 3 weeks that I was blind, I made peace with myself, detaching from my eyesight and going into the vibration of my body, of that perception. And when I was beginning living this way, I begin living like a bat. I took that medicine from the bat and I begin to feel sense. And I tell you, sister, my essence of vibration begins to feel, you know, people say that about empath, but I begin to feel, not stories, not guessing what they're thinking. I begin feeling emotion around me physically, because I was feeling the vibration, and this was the alarming of the bat. But the special vibration that I felt was not with other persons, but with mm-hmm. myself. So I was totally aware when I was vibing happiness or when I was vibing suffering, when I was vibing whatever storyteller that allowed me to change the storyteller in my head. And when I begin changing the storyteller in my head, it's because I was focusing on my vibration, and that's what allowed me to see in the dark, and I owe it to the bat. And that's a little example for how the bat medicine helped me in my life.
No, I believe you. I totally can see that. And they use echolocation. And I had the privilege of working with dolphins for many years. Mm. And what I learned from them about feeling and sensing, I mean, my intuition just exploded from just being in the presence of those animals for a while. You know, like I learned so much. And I believe they were always, they're one of my, on my animal totem. I believe dolphins have always been with me. But a few years ago, I had a really interesting experience with a lizard. So, and lizards now are a new thing in my life. This one lizard, literally, I'm not lying, for 1 month, I photographed it. He was a green Cuban anole, knocked on my window every single day for a month. And I would sit with him through the glass and have coffee and take photos.
I named
him King Henry, and I wrote a little, I self-published it called The Artist and the King, and it's my photos and what I, you know, at the time, this was a few summers ago, happened. And just this past week, an iguana now is around all the time me. So there's something with lizards, which I found really interesting.
Yes, and the lizards are so powerful because they regenerate. You can cut the tail and they will grow it out. So no matter what pain we go through, when we're a lizard, we know that we will heal. And the lizard represents the power of self-healing.
I have some health issues going on, so maybe that's why the lizard showed up again. Interesting. It's very, very interesting. Well, so how can we as humans be in better service to animals and Mother Nature? Because, you know, many of us do our best and love them, and but there's a lot of people that are, you know, careless, I think.
This is the best thing that the animals teach us, because when we begin feeling our vibration and owning our feelings, owning with honesty where we're at, we're in a position of changing our vibration. And with little animals, puppies, especially cats.
Oh, I love cats. Cats are my familiar. They're my familiar cats. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you notice cats, they're very sensitive. They come to you if you have a clean vibration. If you don't have a clean vibration, they will not get to you. And when you begin working with yourself, the animals teach us trust, because if the cat comes to you, it's because it trusts you. A puppy comes to you licking your paw, you know, licking your hand, it trusts you. And this is the main, the main gift of the animals. It teaches us for our body to trust our mind again. Hear that? For our physical body to trust our mind, because our mind is the one who's been abusing the physical body with thoughts. So when we begin being kind to the other animals, we begin being kind to our own animal, which is our human body. And our human body is totally separate from the mind, but it's connected because it's in the same body. But the emotions or whatever we think is the food that we give to the body. So the moment that we wake up and we begin emerging with the human body, with the human animal, is because we get trust. And imagine what powerful gift it could be, living life where you trust yourself no matter what. If you go through a difficult situation, to trust yourself that you will say whatever is in your heart. Not say what's right, what's wrong. No, forget about that, because everything is perfect. And what's coming out of our heart in the moment, it is perfect. And that's the most beautiful thing about self-trust. So the animal kingdom, it has this thing that it always trusts itself. And they don't care to be called a cat or a dog or a tiger or a puma. They don't care about that. They're living beings. And we care about titles. And when we don't have the title, we don't trust ourselves. At the moment that we accept ourselves as life, it's because we accept that we are life. And that we are have the birthright to have a happy life. And this is where we do everything that we get. That's why I'm very connected to the puppies, because my body is a puppy. And I will not abuse my puppy for what's going on in my head, because what should my puppy pay if I'm having a bad day?
Yes, that's so true. And I notice it's very true. Happy people who are kind to themselves are the ones that love and are kind to animals and the earth. And people that are very unhappy and hurting and have a lot of anger and rage are unkind to themselves, and they're unkind to others, and they're unkind to animals and the planet. It really is that true. So it always comes from what's inside of us. It's always an inside job first, and then everything comes out from there.
Exactly, because we all are babies, you know, we all are babies that we just love. And it's not the love that comes to us, it's the love that comes out of us. And when two mirrors are watching each other and love's coming out of both of them, you know, time stops. Mm-hmm. Time stops. You're in heaven. You're the moment you're not counting the clock, time goes so quick because you're living in the moment. And that's what the beautiful animals teach us, that we humans can stop time and finally live in the moment and enjoy everything that we do and rest comfortably. And, you know, the animals don't feel guilt and shame.
Right.
But we humans do. And that's the perfect lesson for the animals to teach us. And imagine if we don't feel guilt and shame, it's because we trust ourselves, because now we're not being blinded and guided by hope and by faith with the story of the word. But now we control the story because we're the storyteller. So what story are we going to tell ourselves next?
Right. Do you think that we're in a time right now with COVID and everything that's happening is a big shift, a great shift?
Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely. Like me and my brother, we were in Teotihuacan this last two months ago. I forgot the month. I'm in the moment in May. And I said, you know, when we came this, it was completely different. The energy changed. And they said, we're in the time of the elders now. The generation has come into a place where we were born. And COVID was something that stopped time and stopped the dream of habit of, you know, of our habits of daily life. And all of us humans around the world went into a cocoon. Some made it, some didn't make it. But the ones who made it, they're getting out of their cocoon and turning into butterflies. So in our reality being stopped, we can see what is precious in life and is life itself. So, you know, I see this beautiful man who used to work. And then one day after the COVID, he came into civilization. I'm going to quit my job. I loved it, but now it's something new for me because he spent most of the COVID in service in his job. And, you know, now I see him traveling around the world, you know, with a big smile, living life. And that's something that many people did. They woke up to knowing that they were living the life that they didn't want to live anymore. So their automatic stop. They had an out-of-body experience. They value what they have and their whole reality changed. And now they turn into butterflies. And like the ancestor says, the butterfly is the animal that resurrected to change its path in the world.
Perfect way to end the show. Thank you, Don Jose, for being here with me. Please check out Don Jose's many teaching books and works. All you have to do is Google him. Don Jose Ruiz, you'll find him all over. Thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.